Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We find Christ speaking many parables in this chapter. And he went forth and spake a parable unto them, that a certain man sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares amongst the good seed. We have here then the kingdom of heaven represented as a garden, as a field, as the place where seed is sown. Last week we spake about the sower sowing the seed. This week the seed is called the children of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, then, is likened unto a man that sowed good seed. The kingdom of heaven represents sometimes the gospel dispensation, and other times it represents the place of the blessed in heaven above. The good man that sowed the seed is Christ Jesus. He is represented here as a husbandman going forth and sowing the seed. We have an enemy coming while men slept. He sent his servants to sow this seed, and while these servants slept, the enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. And we find that these servants did not realize that someone had come while they slept and done this wicked deed. But when the time came that this seed began to mature and spring forth out of the earth, when the blade appeared, then appeared the tares also. And these servants went to the master and spake unto him and said, Hast thou not sown good seed in thy field? Whence then all these tares? And the master said, An enemy hath done this. And these servants, they wanted to go out and pick up these tares. But the master forbid them to do so, realizing that if they picked up these tares, they also would root up the wheat which was growing amongst them. And therefore he forbid them to do so, saying that they should let them grow up together, and that in the time of the harvest, then he would send forth his reapers, and he would command them to take first the tares and cut them down and gather them in bundles and burn them, and then gather the wheat, and he would store that in his barn. This then is the natural explanation of this parable. The kingdom of heaven then is likened unto this field. I said that it was represented in Scripture as the gospel dispensation. This kingdom of heaven, we find that it was pronounced by John the Baptist that it was speedily to come. And when Christ came, then he likewise began to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven had come unto them. He sent forth his disciples, and they likewise spake that the kingdom of heaven was descending in their midst. But it fully came when Christ had arisen from the dead, and when he had ascended up on high and was enthroned in glory above, there he was crowned as king of his church, visible and invisible. And there he sways a scepter and hath power over every creature here below. He there is king over a universal kingdom. Now this kingdom, my hearers, is not of this world. It does not have the world for its viewpoint. This kingdom cannot be set forth by worldly power. This kingdom is only set forth by the preaching of the gospel with the Holy Ghost coming down from heaven. The subjects of this kingdom are those that are born again, who have been given a new life, and who have made a profession of faith and are visible creatures here below who are regenerated by the power of God's Spirit and reveal themselves as such in the visible church here amongst all creatures. Now, this kingdom then is the kingdom which is yet being proclaimed amongst us. And now we find that there were good seed sown in this kingdom. Christ himself explains this parable to his disciples, commencing at the 36th verse. They came to him and asked him to explain this parable unto them. I wonder how many of my hearers have a parable within them that they would like Christ to explain unto them. When God commences a work of grace in our souls, then it is as a parable unto us. We wonder whether the good work is begun in us, whether it is God that began it or we began it. And we are so earnest and so concerned and so anxious to know whether it is his or not. We wish to have an explanation of it, a clearing up of the matter, that it may be made plain and clear to us. Are you such a creature? Is it a parable? Is it a paradox to you? What's going on within you? Does it bring you in secret? Does it bring you to Jesus like the disciples? They asked him to explain this parable unto them. And he began to give them an explanation that he that sowed the good seed was the Son of Man. He speaks then of himself as that blessed Jesus who has a seed here upon earth. He further calls it, the seed is the children of the kingdom. Christ then has a seed which shall serve him here below. When the devil tempted Eve and Adam and made them fall into sin, we find God coming to them and speaking unto the devil and saying that he would set enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. There then is spoken of two different seeds, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. We find likewise that this seed that Christ speaks of are the elect, the chosen ones from all eternity, those whom God the Father gave unto him, for whom he came into this world. They are called the seed, the children of the kingdom. This seed we read of quite often in Scripture, and this seed is here in this world. It grows up with the other seed, namely called the children of the wicked one. This world then is called by Christ the field, and there are two characters found in this world. The seed of Christ or the seed of the devil. May I ask you a question? Of which seed are you? That's most important, my hearers. By nature, we are all of the seed of the wicked one. He came in paradise, and he tempted and made man fall. And since man fell, we all come into this world as the seed of this wicked one. All this seed, my hearers, is spoken of in this parable as tares. And the seed of the kingdom is spoken of as wheat. Tares is a noxious weed that is poisonous unto the wheat and unto the corn. Tares then are children of the wicked one, noxious, poisonous unto the wheat, unto the seed of the kingdom. Such are we, my hearers. By nature, we are noxious in the sight of God. We are poisonous, for we are filled with sin from the crown of our head to the footsole of our feet. We are filled with a loathsome plague. We are a stench in the sight of God. We are noxious, poisonous. In the first place, we are hurtful to ourselves. We are hurtful to our neighbors. And we are hurtful unto the kingdom spoken of here, the kingdom of heaven. Many times these wicked ones, they trouble the seed of the kingdom. We find that when Cain and Abel were born, there was immediately this enmity between the two. And Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. There was enmity between Jacob and Esau, between Isaac and Ishmael. I will set enmity between thy seed and her seed. And that enmity, my hearers, is still in the world to this day. There are then two kinds of people in this world. And there are also two seeds. And my hearers, they grow up together. And sometimes they are even married together. The seed of the wicked and the seed of the kingdom of Christ. But the seed of the kingdom of heaven shall be distinguished here below. They shall be given to be born again. They shall receive a new life. They shall receive faith. They shall also be given to depart from the wickedness of their former life. There will be such a drastic change in such a person. It may not be visible to anyone else. It may not even be visible to himself. He may be wondering, or she, what is taking place in her or in him. They grow up together. They look like each other. Many times we cannot distinguish between the two seeds in this life. Many times the people of God who belong to the kingdom of heaven, they are so conformed to the world, they are so departed from the fountain of living waters that they resemble even the seed of the wicked. All this state is not their element, my hearers. No, the seed of the kingdom of Christ, they long for communion, for fellowship. They long that he will reveal that they are one of his children and that they are the seed of the blessed. These two seeds, wheat and tares. This wheat, my hearers, shall be gathered into the barn. Christ speaks about a harvest. This he calls the end of the world. The harvest amongst the Jewish people began in the month of March. Then the latter rains began to fall, and it ended towards the end of May or the beginning of June. It was necessary that they have the autumn rains and the latter rains called the spring rains, for this was necessary for the ground and for the vegetation to make it grow. But it was also a time of hard labor. It was a time likewise that the Israelites were filled with joy when harvest came. They prayed continually for these autumn and latter rains. And these rains, they were very chilly, very cold. Many times they were accompanied with thunderstorms, and the clouds got black in the heavens. And we read of Elijah sending a young man to look. And when he looked, he seen a small cloud. And this cloud got greater and greater, and it became blacker and blacker. Out in these eastern countries, they were many times accompanied with whirlwinds. They would pick up the sand off the ground, and the heavens would become black with sand. And then they would have terrible storms. But towards the end of April, these rains would subside. And then they had a time when everything was calm and peaceful. And around the beginning of June, they would gather in their harvest. Christ speaking here points to the harvest being the end of the world. This harvest, my hearers, appears soon to come. The end of the world is hastening upon us, for all signs point to the coming of Christ. And now when this harvest time comes, then shall be fulfilled what Christ speaks in this parable. Then he shall send his angels out as the reapers, and they shall gather the tares together, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Christ here then speaks about that great day of accounts, about the end of the world, about the day of judgment, when he shall come and send forth his angels to gather in all those that offend and do wickedly. And they shall be cast into a furnace of fire, meaning that awful place called hell, the place of torment, the place of eternal darkness. Oh, what a terrible thing it will be for any one of my hearers to be brought as a tare and to be cast into this furnace of fire. Have you ever placed yourself, my hearers, in that particular time, in that day of accounts? Have you ever visualized in your mind what would take place with you when that day should suddenly come? Or don't you think about that day? Do you put it far from you? It's a sad sign. Are you thinking about it? Are you wondering how it's going to go with you that day? That's a good sign. You're seeking to be prepared for that day. Oh, how many live unconcerned? How many live in unbelief? How many think that such a time will never come? But Christ here speaks that the end of the world shall come. And at that day, there will be a great separation. Here they grow up together. Here they mingle with each other. But when this harvest comes, there will be a separation. Christ speaking about this in the Revelations speaks about sitting upon a white throne. And there all creatures shall be gathered before him. Every person that lived upon this earth shall be gathered before this great and glorious throne. And then he shall separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep. The sheep shall be placed on his right hand and the goats on his left. Visualize in your mind, my hearers, believe me, this is the truth. This is going to take place with every one of us. You are going to be there just as well as I myself. And how shall it go with you? Will you be a tear? Will he gather you like it is written here in bundles and cast you into that furnace of fire? Let me ask you another question. Have you ever learned yourself to be noxious in the sight of God? Have you ever trembled within and said, I am such a tear? I deserve to be cast into this furnace of fire. Oh, I'm such a great sinner. What good would I be, and what good am I here upon earth? All I deserve is eternal fire. Oh, my hearers, are you troubled about it? Are you concerned about it? Oh, I would wish to speak a word of comfort to you who are so concerned of how it is going to go with you in this great day of accounts. Oh, I would direct you with all your sin, with all your guilt, with your feeling that you are a tear, to Jesus Christ. For this man receives sinners. I can't read in the Bible of one sinner that ever came to Christ that he turned them away. Remember, my hearers, there's a harvest coming, and when that harvest comes, it's too late. Now is yet the acceptable time. Now is yet the day of salvation. Now you may yet flee while it is yet called a day, but then it'll be forever and finally cut off. Oh, may you be given to seek this precious Christ. What have you to lose in seeking him, my hearers? Have you anything to lose? Your immortal soul is at stake. Oh, seek him earnestly, perseveringly. Lay your case before him and say, Lord, you say you came for sinners. You came to seek and to save sinners. Such am I. I'm a sinner, Lord. I need to be saved. You think he'll turn you down? You think he'll say, go away from me. You sin too much. You sin too long. I won't have you. I don't read that in the Bible, my hearers. Oh, I direct you to him who is willing to save to the uttermost all those that come unto him. Oh, there'll be a day when what I am speaking to you will come back to you. Believe me, my hearers. Oh, take heed. Give ear. Listen. That's what Christ says. They that have ears, may they hear. Oh, my hearers, what that will be to be cast into this furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That teaches us. It'll not be like when the tares are burned in an actual sense. They're burned to nothing. They come to an end. But this will be eternal burnings, a fire that is unquenchable. Oh, you will be under the wrath and under the indignation of a living God. And there will be no end to that. Never. There'll be no mercy there. There'll be no comfort there. There'll be no pity there. There'll be no compassion there. Oh, my hearers, could I? Could I, by the instrumentality of this precious word, work in you a fear of the wrath which is to come? How many, even under the dreadful speaking that is taking place now, have no fear? Put it away. Discard it. And think It'll never happen to them. Oh, just as sure as it is written here, my Hebrews, it will take place. Oh, what an awful eternity that will be, where this worm of the conscience will gnaw through all eternity. Oh, had I but listened. Oh, I wish I could go back. I wish I could fall down on my knees before him and entreat him to save me. But it's too late, forever too late. Oh, may you be given to fall before him now and find him to be what he says he is in his word. Oh, my hearers, we read likewise that then the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Oh, the righteous. There are many of God's children that would never call themselves righteous. They are in themselves unrighteous. But the word of God calls them righteous. They are in the sight of that great God as righteous, in the righteousness of Christ. This righteousness is imputed unto them. And they are in his sight without spot or without blemish. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be found righteous in the sight of God. Such an unrighteous, such a vile, such a black, such a sinful creature to be covered with the robe of righteousness, which is without flaw, which is a perfect robe. And in that robe, God views these creatures as righteous. Oh, there is none righteous, my hearers, no, not one. And not in themselves. The only righteousness which a sinner can stand in before God is this perfect righteousness of Christ. And these righteous, they shall shine forth. Oh, my hearers, they are given sometimes here below something of this glory of which Christ prayed for in John 17. The glory that thou gavest unto me, I have given unto them. For my hearers, we find in the Bible that when Moses ascended up on the mountain and he was up there with God 40 days, God laid something of his glory upon Moses. Oh, when he came down, the people of Israel, they could not look upon his face. It shined so because he had been so close to God, had been near with God 40 days and 40 nights. And they had to hide his face. Oh, he did shine forth amongst these people, the Israelites. When Christ went up on the mount with his three disciples and was transfigured before them, and then his clothes became whiter than snow. Oh, then something of his glory was seen by these three disciples. When Paul was stopped on the way to Damascus and brought down upon his knees, he seen a light more glorious than the sun. And he heard a voice speaking unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? All my hearers, something of that glory here below already is visible at times for the saints. But oh, what that shall be to be given to enter into this glorious kingdom, the kingdom of their Father, their God, who loved them from all eternity, who chose them in Christ Jesus, who desires to have them with him. There they shall shine forth as the sun. We cannot look at the sun with our natural eyes. It's too bright. we must have something before our eyes. And these sinners then, these righteous, they shall shine much brighter than the sun. They shall enter into the joy of their Lord. They shall be filled with glory. They shall enjoy pleasures at his right hand forevermore. They shall be conformed to the blessed image of Jesus, and they shall see his face, and they shall drink of the river of his pleasures endless in. Oh, what a glorious eternity awaits these righteous. The weak, they shall be gathered into the heavenly garner, into the barn, into heaven above. The place of the blessed, the place where God, Christ, saints, and angels dwell. Oh, what a contrast, my hearers, between the tares. They shall be found. With the wicked in hell, they shall have the devil and his angels, and all the wicked as companions. But here they shall be with God forevermore. And they shall see their Savior, and they shall be conformed to his image. They shall be with him. And all my hearers, to be with him, that means to be without sin, forever free from sin. Have you ever stopped to think about that? You know, if sin's your burden, and it troubles you, every day you are troubled on account of your sins. To think that someday, if you are one of these righteous, you will be forever free from sin. Is that your trouble, sin? Wouldn't it trouble you? Wouldn't you want to be delivered from it? Wouldn't you want to be in a place where you never would have to sin anymore? That's the place where these righteous shall enter. They shall be forever free from sin and evil. Oh, they shall have a body that's conformed to the body of Christ. He never sinned, my hearers. Oh, we cannot explain what that eternity will be for all those who are of the wheat, who are God's children, who have been born again, and who have, by the blessed Spirit, a work of grace in their hearts. Oh, what this will be in that great day, my hearers. I said there would be a separation. Then children will be separated from their parents, mothers and fathers from their children, and brothers from their sisters, and sisters from their brothers. Here below, they all grew together. They all mingled together. They looked very much alike to each other. But in that great day, then it will be seen who were the righteous and who were the wicked. Then God will gather his children to himself, and they will enter into that glorious place, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. All that is that city that we read of in Revelation, where the streets are made of gold. Oh, that is that glorious place which God hath prepared for all them that love him. Which place are you traveling to, my hearers? What is your hope? What is it based upon? Where shall you spend eternity? Think of it. Meditate upon it. And if you have no certainty where you are going to, may you come to Jesus Christ as the disciples and ask him to make it clear, to make it plain where you are traveling to. The Word of God speaks of only two places. Oh, my hearers, may God in his infinite mercy bless the teaching of this lesson for your immortal souls. That's all for today.